live in me. Folk, I'd like you to turn with me to two scriptures tonight. Firstly, Lindsay, to Matthew 11. Okay. And then to Mark chapter 10. Matthew 11, we read something that seems to be quite out of place for us. We call ourselves Christians. We sort of think, okay, we've got to slow down now. We're not allowed to get cross. We're not allowed to get angry. We've really got to be passive. We've got to be good people. You've got to be good boys and girls. All right. That goes for you as well. Okay, Frank. But in Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 12, we read these. And from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. Now, turn with me over to chapter 10. I read a portion of scripture over there that I believe is important, because what I want to do tonight is to show us something. It's not about violence. We don't have to survive. That's what we think. If we're Christians, we've got to survive. That's all it is. We've got to thrive more than survive. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. We need to more than survive. We need to thrive. We need to get out. We need to be bold. We are Christians. We have the power of God in us that we can step out in boldness. And the message came through tonight. We are called to do exactly that. And Mark 10, verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. What an awesome scripture that is. You see, it's not about us being violent. It's not about us taking people's scalps. It's about us being bold enough to know that God hasn't called us just to survive, but He's called us to thrive, to be the people of power that He's called us to be. Folk, how awesome that is. That's a scripture that we're going to be dissecting in a few moments. A young man who had for years on a railway line, wanted a job as a signalman for the railroad. And for his interview, he was told to meet the inspector at the signal box. The inspector asked him, "What would you do if you realized that two trains were heading towards each other on the same track?" The young man said, "That's easy. I'd switch the points for the one train. The inspector then asked, what if the lever broke? The young man said, then I'll jump down out of the signal box and I'll use the manual lever over there. Next, the inspector said, what if the lever had been struck by lightning? The young man said, then I'd run to the signal box and phone the next signal box to let them know what was happening. The inspector continued, what if the phone was busy? The young man said, well, in that case, I'd rush down to out of the signal box and use the public emergency phone at the crossing. Then the inspector said to him, what would you do if the public emergency phone had been vandalized? The young man said, oh, well, then I'd run into town and get my uncle. The inspector looked at him, puzzled, and asked, why would you go and get your uncle? The young man answered, that's simple. He's never seen a train crash before. You know what, folks, so often as we look at life, we tend to think that our lives are heading for a crash. Too many people today feel that their lives are heading for a crash. They feel like the two trains heading directly towards one another. There's really nothing they can do to stop it from happening. For them, the crash seems inevitable. The crash may be a personality crash in their marriage or at work. A crash might be a financial crash or an employment crash. Whatever it is, for them, life seems to have come unglued and untracked. They feel as if they're partly on the track, or they don't know whether they're on or off, or they're on the track or off the track. Final decision of where they will end up is yet to be decided. Maybe that's how you're feeling today. Maybe that's how you felt for the last week. Maybe you feel like you've fallen off the tracks. Maybe you feel like something's missing in your life and you just don't know what it is. What's missing in my life? But let me ask you this. Is there a way out? Is there hope? Are there any answers? Is there a way to stop the crash before it happens? And tonight, if nothing else, I want you to listen to the point that I have to make right now. There's nothing else that you don't want to listen to. You've got to listen to this. Please, listen. Okay, Lindsay. By all means, there is hope. There is hope. Let me say that again. There is hope. There is an answer. There is a way out. A crash in your life does not have to happen. Where do we find the answers? Where do we turn? How do we stop the crash? You know what, folks, so many people turn to think that they're going to find their answers in horoscopes. They turn to the psychic hotlines that are advertised in the newspapers. These psychics were really true. And I wouldn't need to call them. They could call me when I have a time of need. We'll not find our hope in consulting with fortune cookies that you get down at the local China shop, or by picking self-help books at Donald's bookstore. Those self-help books are not going to help you. So if the answer is not found in those places, where are we going to find the answer? I believe the answer to life's questions are found in one place, and one place only, and that's in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's where we're going to find the answers. The other day I was talking about us having to walk in stride with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, when we're looking for answers in self-help books or in fortune cookies, can I tell you what? You're not walking in stride with Jesus Christ. In fact, you're walking behind Him. And if you think you've got the answer, you're probably walking in front of Jesus, trying to dictate to Him how things have to happen. If you want to walk in stride with Jesus Christ, you've got to walk right next to Him. That's when you're walking in stride. That's when you know where the answer is. Because He is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. He is the one who knows where the answer is. He will give you the right answer that you need in life. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to sent by God, our Heavenly Father, so that we might experience true life. Jesus came so that we might know true happiness, true peace, true joy, and true fulfillment. Folk, if you're not experiencing those things in life, stop for one moment and ask yourself your question, where am I getting my answers? If it's not in Jesus Christ, if it's not in the Word of God, then stop and get back to basic foundations so that you might be the Christian that He wants you to be, that Keith spoke to us about. We need to endure. We need to stand in there to be called a Christian. Means to thrive, not just survive. Unfortunately, rather than turning to God, many people give their lives to something else, and they fall hopelessly down a chute. I believe today there's much hope for us within the Word of God. We do not need to head into a place of disaster. Yes, Esau's coming. Jacob didn't have to worry. He fought, he wrestled, as was pointed out to us this morning. But he endured until God gave him the answer and said, "You Christian, you Israel." And today we have that hope in us. But as we've read this, Jesus gives us that example of a man who must have felt the same way as many of us have felt and probably are feeling. But who had turned his life around, had his life turned around by the power of the Son of God. Jesus shows us how one man's life was miraculously changed by having an encounter with Jesus Christ Himself. Coming to Jesus is the beginning point, both in these verses and in our daily lives. This man named Bartimaeus was a man, by any account, who had very little going for him. Being blind in those days meant you couldn't do anything. couldn't even work for a living. Mark tells us, yes, he was found standing on the outskirts of Jericho. Maybe he was even living on the streets. It didn't seem to have any way to change his life. It didn't seem to be any way for him to break that cycle. So often we find that there's a cycle in our lives that needs to be broken. And the same with Bartimaeus. He had the cycle going on in his life that needed to be broken. That the chains of bondage needed to be removed from his life. He really didn't seem to be, there really didn't seem to be a destiny to remain on life's disabled list for all his life. He looked at this and he thought, this is a train smash. Yes, Bartimaeus was blind. You know, if I can't fathom, I can't even think what it's like to be in that condition. Not being able to see the picturesque sunset. The beautiful smile on a child's face, or the starlit nights. Not being able to see that. Mark leads us to believe that Bartimaeus had been blind for some time. We also know that because of this blindness, he was a very poor man. Could not work, he had to depend on others. And you know, folk, when you start depending on human beings, life becomes a problem. Not everybody is able to be depended on. Sorry about that. All Bartimaeus could do was to sit on the roadside, begging, hoping that some kind traveler will come past and drop a few pennies in his tin. Maybe we look at his life, his future has been dismal, gloomy. None of us would deny the fact that Bartimaeus was a pitiful soul. His life seemed hopeless. Bartimaeus was a man who simply survived. Is that what our life is today? No enjoyment, no happiness, no success, no peace, no joy. Bartimaeus' life concerned simply of survival. That is, and I say it loudly like that, because we need to be awake. Because something was about to happen. Something was about to change in his life. He was about to have an encounter. Not of the second kind. Of the best kind. The best kind. An encounter with Jesus Christ. The Son of God. See folk. It's Jesus that changes our lives. Jesus was not going to give him some money. That he could possibly go and buy a grand house, a grand motor car, not that they had motor cars in those days, or a chariot, or a donkey. He was going to give him a gift that would change his life forever. A gift that was going to mean something to him. But what can we learn from Bartimaeus? What can we learn from him that will help us get plugged into the plan that God has for you and I? What's it going to cost to get you to walk in stride with Jesus Christ? How can we move beyond merely surviving and begin to thrive as God wants us to thrive? I believe the first point that we need to look at tonight is capitalize. Now I'm a capitalist. Capitalize on the opportunities God provides for you and I. And don't tell me you don't have opportunities. I want to tell you, God gives you all. Each and every one of us. He grants us an opportunity. I believe the doors are open, as was spoken tonight before the worship team came to sit down. God opens doors for us. He gives us the opportunity that we can thrive. Bartimaeus did just that. Look back at the scriptures. Once Bartimaeus discovered that Jesus was close to him, he shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." What triggered his thoughts? He was just a beggar man. He was a wipeout in society. According to society, he was a wipeout. He was a dropout. He was a loser. Much the same way as we look at the youth today. Their clothes are hanging down over here. Their hair's down like hippies. But can I tell you what, adults? Our parents looked at us exactly the same way. So don't think that you knew at this. Okay. What has been will be again. And all you're doing is repeating history that we've been through. We've got the t-shirt. We've learned the excuses. There's no excuse. I want to tell you what. You don't have to survive. You can thrive. Don't think because you're young that, oh, it's survival mode. Begin to thrive. Begin to show the world who is inside of you. Look, it's time for us to stand up. You see, he heard Jesus was coming. How did he know Jesus? As a man, got a blind man in our master's class. He says, "I saw him making a big joke of it." But folk, I want to tell you tonight, he probably had that inkling, probably being nudged by the Holy Spirit. The Son of David, the Son of God is coming through town. Be prepared. Here's your opportunity. Jesus told the, takes us back. If we move a few verses back to Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 22, where the young rich man ruler comes and bows before him and says, "What do I have to do to receive eternal life?" Jesus says to him, "Follow the commandments." He says, "I do that." He says, "Well, then I'll tell you what. Go and sell you everything you have. Give it to the poor and take up your cross and follow me." Scripture tells us that that young man walked away very sad. Extremely sad. Pastor Keith. He was more interested in the material things of life. He was more interested in the wealth. The young people, I want to tell you this. The world's telling you, if you don't have wealth, you have nothing. I want to tell you, if you've got Jesus, you've got more than wealth. Don't believe what the world is telling you. Do what Bartimaeus did. He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Don't be like the rich young ruler who gave up his opportunity from following Jesus. That's a tragic situation, folk. And I mean it when I say tragic. Because where was he heading? Rather than following Jesus, he was following the materialistic things of life. Yes, I'm speaking to the choir tonight. But you know what? We need to take this message out there. Why do people do such things? Why would a person turn from what Jesus has offered him? The answer is plain and simple. To the rich young ruler, temporary wealth meant more than eternal life. There's an important truth that we must understand here tonight. Opportunities only become opportunities when we embrace them as opportunities. Must I say it again? For those who are hard of hearing, the old toppies like myself, opportunities only become opportunities when we embrace them as opportunities. God may offer and offer something to us. However, if we refuse to accept it, the opportunity is going to be missed. An opportunity must be seized, must be grabbed, must be accepted, must be taken. And folk, this is where the violent men take a hold of the kingdom through violence. When we take that opportunity and we have the tenacity of a bull terrier that will not let go, we bite and we bite hard. We will not let go of that opportunity until something has happened. Jacob wrestled with the angel of God until he got his answer. Until you get the answer from God, don't let go. God has given us the opportunity. He's opened doors. Bartimaeus accepted that opportunity that was presented to him by Jesus. The rich young ruler did not accept the opportunity. And folk, tonight, God gave me confirmation that this is the right word. And Josh and Christy brought that word. Today, before everyone, before each and every one of you sitting here, there is a door of opportunity. There is a door of opportunity. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. There is a door of opportunity opening up for you and I. Today, God could be calling you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. That is an opportunity, right or wrong. Today, God can be calling you to recommit yourself to walk with Him. Not in front of Him, not behind Him, but in stride with Him. Today, there may be place in service in the church that God wants you to fill. Don't tell me there isn't. You were here yesterday and you didn't hear what was said. There's more opportunity for each and every one of us sitting here than meets the eye. Isn't that so? We need workers. We pray to the Lord of the harvest because the fields are white, but the workers are few. Every one of us is a door of opportunity. Maybe God is calling you to a teaching position in our church. Maybe God is calling you to get involved in ministry in our community. Maybe you know a lost person who needs Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and is now open to the gospel. That's an opportunity, folk. We can't let go. We need to grab it with both hands. It's an opportunity. You feel nudged by the Holy Spirit. If God is placing an opportunity before you, you have two choices. You have the choice of Bartimaeus, or you have the choice of the rich young ruler. See, God's a gentleman. He's given you a choice. See, the choice is yours. But now, maybe I should go around. Who wants to choose like Bartimaeus? But in your heart saying, I'd rather be like the rich young ruler. Come, open, put your hand up. You know what they say? Jimmy Swagger Bible, you beat him to death when he's saved. You save him, beat him to death so he can go to heaven. Amen, my sister. Like, it's not what this is about. What I'm trying to tell you, do you want eternal life or do you want hell, eternal damnation? Those are the two choices that you have. You know, a person doesn't want to talk about those things because people get it rather hit up by it. But that's the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. Let's choose Bartimaeus' choice rather than the rich young ruler's choice. Secondly, I believe thriving means capitalizing on God's given opportunity. Secondly, thriving means to minimize the negative voice that clatters around about us. There's so much negativity in this world today. Listen to how the crowd reacted to Bartimaeus. Cried out, "Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me." "Hey, keep quiet. Don't you dare open your mouth. Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me." Keep quiet. That's negativity, isn't it? Fuck, it's happening in many ways. Many ways in our lives. What was Bartimaeus' reaction to that? His reaction was to shout even louder. To shout even louder. "Son of David, have mercy on me." So much so that Jesus stopped dead and he beckoned that he'd be brought over and he said to him, "What do you want? What do you want me to do for you?" You know what, folk? There's so much talk about the young people and all that they're doing wrong and everything else. As I said earlier on, we adults keep quiet and chuck the key away. Today, Patrick and I were actually talking, reminiscing of, some of you would call it bad days. We actually had exciting times. Yes, we got up to mischief, but you know, it was clean mischief. It was good mischief. It was enjoying life, enjoying the open felt, enjoying fresh air. What life has given us. I actually feel sorry for our young people. And I say it with all respect. I'm not belittling you at all. You're missing out on many an opportunity of going hiking in the felt, seeing all the beautiful waterfalls that nobody sees unless you go. If you walk down from Kenmare, Tara the Dingle, the Donegal, the Mad Irishman Corner, whatever you want to call it, there's a bit of a valley coming down like that. You land up at the Pines Pleasure Resort. This is where the mischief comes in. We used to slick in the back way so you didn't have to pay my uncle the fee to get in the gate. But if you walk the other way, you land up at Featherbrook Estate, which was all open felt in those days. And there are a number of waterfalls that are beautiful. You get hot and tired. Dive into the water, have a goof. Then you get up and you walk further. You don't see that because there is no opportunity because it's so bad. Those are the negative things. Let's think back. I want to tell you what. There's peer pressure on you. There's peer pressure on us at work. Bartimaeus was judged because he was blind, poor, and didn't seem to fit into society. Folk, I want to tell you, as much as what we think the youth don't fit into society, how much more did our parents and the people older than think about me? Or you. They also thought we didn't fit into society. Fuck, I want to tell you what. Our young people are special. You're precious. In the sight of God. Don't let people's negative talk and criticism stop you from crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. He never gave up. He shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Another person that we know from Scripture in 1 Samuel 17. David, a young man, goes and he says, I'm going to take that Philistine out. He might be a giant. But you know what? I have the power of God. How can you sit there like ninnies and not do something about it? He's taking the name of the Lord in vain. How can you sit there and allow Exodus to be viewed on your TV that is so pathetically out of line from the Word of God, but yet if they had to do it with the Muslims, there would be a war in the land. But we as Christians sit back and say, ha, ha, ha. Fuck, it's time for us to get up and start being counted. Time for us to start standing up for the name of Jesus. Let's come against the negative that the world wants to portray about Christianity. I'm not going on too long, sorry. But folk, just bear with me, please. It's time for us to put it aside and minimize that crime and let people see the light of God. Let people see and know. Satan, get out. Gates of hell will not stand. The Christians are coming through. Why? Because we've got a general. We've got a leader that's going to take us through. Who's inside of you right now? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. David stood up to them and said, I'm not going to stand still. They tried to put an armor on him. The brothers were fighting with him. You can't do that. King gets to hear it come. You can take my personal armor. Here's a guy who's supposed to be the leader. And his knees are rattling like a jolly leaf in the wind. He says, yeah. And David stands in. He says, can't move. He chucks her off. He steps forward and says, I bet Jesus. He goes in with five little stones. One stone, the giant comes tumbling down. Doesn't matter what giant you have in your life, take Jesus with, and he comes falling down, that giant. That's the opportunity we have. Let's stand in there. Let's fight for Jesus Christ. Let the light of Jesus shine in your life, folks. Let's become the people who will endure, who will stand up against the negative things and say, this is where it stops right now. In Jesus' name. Seize the opportunity placed before you by God. Don't be limited by negative criticism that the people are throwing. Leave the third thing is this short point. Exercise the faith available to us. Folk, we need to stand up as Bartimaeus boldly grabbed Jesus' attention. His boldness and enthusiasm were almost impossible to miss. But don't get me wrong here. Don't get me wrong. It was Bartimaeus' faith that triggered Jesus' healing. Jesus said to him, Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. Folk, it's time that we stand up in faith, knowing that we can move forward. We can say to the mountain, be cast into the sea, and it will be happened. If you have faith as a mustard seed, how big is a mustard seed, folk? It is tiny. It's money. Faith as a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, get out. Whatever you're going through, whatever we're going through, we can in faith bind it up in Jesus' name. Jesus hears our prayers. And in faith, if we step forward, ask Him. Remember, in faith. If we have a relationship with God and we step out in faith, Jesus does the rest for us. You see, requesting something of Jesus is speaking, and speaking to Jesus is not enough. The rich young ruler did that. But see what happened. He remained unchanged. Complete faith is obedient faith. God has told you, you've got to do something. Get on to it. You want to continue to hear God speak to you. Begin to do what God tells you to do. Otherwise, He's not going to talk to you again. Mark tells us that when Bartimaeus received his sight, he followed Jesus along the road. Can you imagine that testimony that followed him? And as I conclude, a missionary in a very isolated area of Africa performed a surgery on a blind man. The surgery was successful and his sight was restored. Several days after the operation, the man disappeared from the hospital and everyone was quite concerned for his well-being. And a few days later, the missionary opened his door and there stood the man who had been operated on. The man was holding a rope. On the other end of the rope were 10 more blind people. Genuine faith is contagious faith. Genuine faith cannot wait to tell others, to point others to God, to follow Jesus. Beloved, stop settling for less. Stop settling for less. Stop muddling through life, partly on the track and partly off the track. Don't just survive. I'm calling us to be a thriving people, a passionate people, an excited people, because we have Jesus inside. Thrive through Jesus Christ and your faith in Him. I'm asking you to do that tonight. I'm asking us as we stand tonight to make that commitment that we will not just survive, but that we will find for Jesus tonight. Shall we stand together?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've got a plan for us, a plan to bless us, a plan to prosper us, a plan for us to grow in you. Lord, it's even part of this church's mission statement that we will thrive, we will grow in faith, we will prosper. And that's exactly what we've heard about tonight. Let us go forth. Let us be those people you've called us to be, a thriving people in Jesus' name. We commit this to you. We pray, help us when we get negative to change those, to turn those negative thoughts around, to focus on that which is true, you in us. Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. So as we go out in this week, let us thrive. We thank you for what you're doing. Continue to do it, please, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.